Welcome to an all-new episode of Jet Nation Radio. Dennis Agapito and Tyson Roche give their opinions on the latest Jets news.
How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it anytime we want to throw it? Can we have fun? You're damn right. I demand that we have fun.
And now here they are, your hosts, Dennis and Tyson.
And that's right, Jet Nation. We hope that you have some fun tonight, and we do appreciate you joining us once again for another power-packed episode of Jet Nation Radio. This is Dennis Agapito. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter. It's at Jet Nation Radio. You can give us a phone call. The number is 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. Our switchboard operator, Steve, is eagerly waiting your phone calls. We know that there's been some activity or inactivity during free agency. I'm sure a lot of the Jet fans out there would like to go over how they're feeling about what has happened or what hasn't happened thus far during free agency. Also, remember, you could always reach us on iTunes. Just search Jet Nation Radio. But without further ado, I'd like to bring in my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tyson Roush, TRoush21 on Twitter. So, Tyson, how are you this fine evening, my good friend?
Dennis, how you doing, man? I'm actually pretty fired up. It seems like Jets Nation has a lot of opinions, some good, some bad, but they're all very strong. So I think we have a lot to talk about. And to be honest with you, the first thing I want to talk about is this whole Deshaun Jackson, trade for Deshaun Jackson story. Now, let me preface this whole conversation by saying I respect Deshaun Jackson as a legitimate playmaker. He's a game breaker. He's an extraordinary talent. Punt returner, receiver, he's elite. Here's my problem. Geno Smith is a young, developing quarterback. The last thing he needs is a guy with questionable work ethic, forced in the locker room. It's just not a good fit for the Jets. I mean, and let's not even forget the fact that he's going to want $10 million per year. So for me, it's like all this talk about Deshaun Jackson, it's just a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. People got tired of Santonio Holmes' attitude. Deshaun Jackson's Santonio times two. Yes, he's 27. Yes, he's talented. But Dennis, for me, this is a terrible idea. We want to build this program, just like Chip Kelly's trying to build his program in Philadelphia. Chip Kelly has an emerging offense. He's trying to surround Nick Foles with playmakers. If he wants to develop a successful program, then why is he trading away his best offensive weapon? Whatever he brings to the table with talent, it's offset by his problems in the locker room and off the field. So, Dennis, I'm not sure what your opinion is, but I understand why Jet Nation wants Deshaun Jackson, but for me, it's an absolutely terrible idea.
Well, we did have Joel Curry on a few weeks ago, and I'm sure that the faithful listeners of Jet Nation remember what Joel said with that. John Idzik would be an idiot to trade for Deshaun Jackson. Now, here's his money for this year, which he's supposed to make if the Jets were to actually trade for him, but they would inherit. For this season, it would be almost $11 million, $10.75 million. That's what they would inherit. And then $9.75 for 2015 and $8.25 for 2016. And how old is Deshaun Jackson now? He's like 27, 28 years old. I mean, again, there's definitely talent there, but do you want to build your team this way where, you know, everyone says we have this cap space, so why don't you just bring him in, you know, give up the draft pick and bring him in, but does he end up not really working out? And again, he blocks somebody. People don't seem to understand this. When you bring a guy like Deshaun Jackson in, he has to play, especially when you're paying him that kind of money. And, you know, maybe now that you signed Eric Decker and you have him and you have Curley and you have Nelson, maybe you don't go into the draft and draft, a Matthews or a Marquise Lee or whoever it is that you were thinking about drafting, and maybe you ultimately regret that decision in the long run.
Yeah, but see, I don't even care about that. My problem is this. He signed, a five-year, $47 million contract? He already wants to redo that. So not only are you trading for him, you're trading for a guy that's disgruntled and wants a new contract. So because he's lacking guaranteed money, or that's what he wants. So you're inheriting problems. You're inheriting a contract problem. You're inheriting a locker room problem. It's just, Dennis, I could not be more, I understand the talent and the age and all this, but to me, it's just, it's not what the Jets need, especially if you want Geno Smith to be your young quarterback. The last thing you want is a Geno struggling to have a guy pouting on the sidelines, finger pointing, and causing all kinds of chaos. And people are going to say, you know what, Marty Morningwake is familiar with him and this and that. I understand that too. But there's still more to that. You're trying to build a program. You're trying to build camaraderie. You're trying to build a solid locker room. There's one thing to have off-the-field issues. There's one thing to be a disruptive force. And for me, Dennis, I mean, I've talked to Eagles fans. I did some research. They're all saying the same thing. They're saying if Jason Avant was on a team last year, DeSean Jackson would have caused chaos there because he was like the bodyguard, the offset between him and the coaches. So, I mean, I know what you're saying is, you know, it could block. If they get him, they don't go after, say, an Odell Beckham in the first round. And I understand all that. But to me, this is just a really bad fit.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, DeSean Jackson seems to be a very selfish player. And again, Joel laid out very eloquently that, that he was very selfish before the year before he won a new contract, when his old contract, his rookie contract, was expiring, and he didn't get it, and he kind of pouted and played, played to protect himself, like Joel said, played to protect himself. So if the guy's not happy with $11 million, which is, number one money these days, I don't know how much more money do you have to give him to make him happy, and are you going to extend him, or do you want to build, again, do you want to build younger? We're going to get into this a lot because we got a lot of things to get into, and we have some phone callers on the line, and we're going to get to them in a minute. But, let's get into this first before we get into DeSean Jackson. So I don't think either of us are interested in DeSean Jackson. You can understand it's kind of like, a fun toy, a nice toy to have, but it isn't really something that is going to ultimately be beneficial for you in the long run, like buying food, It's just like something to play with, but doesn't really give you a lot of substance. So that's the way I feel about DeSean Jackson. But let's talk a little bit about Eric Decker. Now, a lot of people are very upset, and maybe we'll get into some of the phone calls about this, but Eric Decker did sign with the Jets, and we know that the Jets obviously were hurting at the offensive skill positions. And, I mean, it was talked about a little bit, but he was really kind of flew under the radar as far as the Jets went. I think the feeling was too much money. He wanted to be paid maybe $8, $9, $10 million per year. Maybe that was out of the Jets' budget. And you know what? They got him in there. They got him signed to a very reasonable deal, a little over $7 million per year. And what do you think about Eric Decker coming here to the Jets right now? Why don't you give your analysis of how John Isaac handled it and where you think how you think he'll progress moving forward?
See, for me with Eric Decker, I was never questioning his talent. I was questioning his price tag. That's when we talked about a couple weeks ago. It was like we said, you know what? He's going to want $8, $9 million a year. He's going to want all this guaranteed money. And I think they did a good job. I mean, they got arguably the best wide receiver in the market. I mean, I think he is. He's a good fit for the offense. He'd be a good red zone target. He's got size. He's got good athletic ability. I mean, I have no problem at all with this signing. I think it's a good move by Isaac. It's a solid move. It's just people that are going against it, it's like they're arguing, is he number one? Is he number two? You know what he is? He's an upgrade. He's an upgrade to what we have. He's a piece to the puzzle. And I think it was a smart move by Isaac. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, no. Look, definitely. And it came as a surprise because, again, Decker was supposed to be that guy that was out of the Jets' price range, and we thought maybe more like Emmanuel Sanders-type guy or Golden Tate. I mean, we didn't really talk too much about Decker. I think we all felt that. But when the money came in, and he's getting paid legitimate number two money. Now, people say he's not a number one. Well, I mean, look at his numbers. But people say he's a product of Peyton Manning. Well, I mean, he did have 8 touchdowns in 2011 with Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow throwing him the ball. Let me ask you this question. Who's the best wide receiver in the AFC East right now on a current roster?
Good question. Stevie Johnson?
You think it's Stevie Johnson? I mean, is Stevie Johnson better than Eric Decker?
That's close.
It's arguable. I mean, you can argue it. What about Mike Wallace? Is Mike Wallace better than Eric Decker? You could argue that Eric Decker is better than Mike Wallace. I mean, is Brandon LaFell better than he's now with the Patriots? Is Julian Edelman better than Eric Decker? Really, you can make a very strong argument that Eric Decker is the best receiver in the AFC East. So, I mean, yeah, this was a really solid signing. The Jets had the worst receiving core in the league. And now they definitely have strengthened it with this one maneuver. And you know what? It was everything was done very well. The price tag, everything came out terrific. And I think he's going to be a great fit here. And while, yes, he did play with Peyton Manning, had a lot of weapons around him, and it did help his numbers, you know, last year he did have almost 100 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns. And while his numbers might diminish some, he might open things up for a guy like Jeremy Curley, who was kind of a safety blanket for Geno Smith, and maybe draw some of that double coverage away from Curley, and maybe Curley can have a bigger year because of having his presence there. But why don't we go to the phones? So we've got a couple of people on the phones, and we want to make sure to get to them. So first of all, we're going to have Jude from North Carolina, because Jude's a constant caller. So Jude, Dennis, and Tyson here at Jet Nation Radio, welcome aboard. What do you got from us? Hope it's warm in North Carolina, because it's pretty nice here in New York.
It's actually very cold in North Carolina, and I think I deserve it because I've been trolling people about how warm it's been for the last couple of weeks. So, yeah. How are you all doing?
What's up, Jude? How are you
doing,
man?
Fine.
I was going to talk about DeSean Jackson a little bit. I know Tyson, I just got in when Tyson was talking about how he didn't want DeSean Jackson. I mean, I just pulled up his stats right now. I know stats aren't the whole story, but still a pretty big story. I mean, how many yards did, like, our leading receiver had, like, 500, right? 500, 490, something like that. And his worst season, which was his contract, was it 2012 that he had a contract dispute, or 2011? Do you remember?
That was, 2011 was the year he was playing under his last year of his rookie deal, and 2012 was the start of his new deal now that he's under.
Oh, okay. Well, see, even in 2011, that he had 961 yards. His worst season's better than our receiver's best season this year. If it's just for a third-round pick, I personally don't see why we don't take in DeSean Jackson, try to rework his contract.
Okay, Jude, here's my question for you, because you know how I feel on this. First of all, are you willing to add a player that's a disruptive force that could be somewhat of a diva qualities to a wide receiving core that's led by that has a quarterback like Geno Smith? Do you think it'd be healthy for Geno Smith to deal with a receiver that could be hot-tempered, could quit on routes, could be very temperamental? Do you think it's a good fit for Geno Smith?
Well, I mean, he may be hot-tempered, but I mean, he caught touch. I mean, I hate to be sound so simplistic and everything, but he caught touchdowns. I mean, obviously, he's not even caught touchdowns. Maybe it's just a difference of fit in the locker room. I mean, the team didn't seem all that bothered by it in 2011. Vic got hurt, obviously, but it wasn't like DeSean Jackson just cast some voodoo on them and they all got hurt because he was disruptive in the locker room.
I got two more questions for you. Now, if Chip Kelly is trying to build his program, he's trying to build his offense around Nick Foles, he's trying to add as many playmakers as possible to be an explosive offense, then why would he trade away his best playmaker?
That's a very good question, and honestly, I'm not in the mind of Chip Kelly, so I don't know, but I can't really guess as to why he would trade away DeSean Jackson. The only guess is maybe, I don't know, cap reasons, maybe he just has to, it's hard to imagine why he would trade him away, but that's not much of the Jets' concern.
But don't you see the similarities? If Chip Kelly's got a young quarterback in Nick Foles trying to build his offense, and he's getting rid of his best playmaker, the Jets are trying to build their offense, it seems like they're almost similar situations. But, okay, we'll go back, Bill, because I'll let that one slide. Now, DeSean is making huge money right now. I think Dennis would buy, $9 million this year. He wants more money. He wants to restructure his contract. He wants more guaranteed money. Are you willing to pay DeSean Jackson, say, $10 million a year with 20-something million guaranteed money?
Personally, that's a tricky one for me. I mean, I wouldn't put him in that upper echelon of receivers who would deserve that amount, but as of right now, I would say I would be very hesitant in giving him that deal, but I would be willing to give him that deal. I wouldn't just sign off on that particular aspect right away, but I would be open to it. But at the same time, I mean, if he's going to be in there and completely revamp our offense and make it that much better, DeSean Jackson one side, Decker on the other, all that stuff, if he makes our offense that much better, why not take him? Seriously. I mean, we're people are complaining about the offense all season long, saying, oh, my goodness, why don't we have playmakers? Oh, my goodness, this. Oh, my goodness, that. Oh, we have so much cap space. Oh, but we don't want to give DeSean Jackson $10 million. It's hard to have it both ways. Hello.
All right, Jude. Yeah, listen, I hear what you're saying. My rebuttal to that would be just kind of this, is that it's an opportunity cost kind of thing. If you trade for DeSean Jackson and you give him the type of contract that he's looking for, and you know, who knows how he produces? Again, nobody really knows. If he kind of has the numbers that he's capable of putting up and he's happy, hey, great. You know, you're right. He would be an asset to the team. But you could look at it this way. Like, you could be a little bit more patient and maybe wait till next year till a guy like Brandon Marshall becomes available through free agency. And, you know, kind of build your team now through the draft a little bit, see what you got there, and maybe you have some more pieces in place, and maybe you don't need a DeSean Jackson. It is a tough call, Jude. I'm on the fence with this. I probably would prefer not to do it, because from what I've seen in general, when you make a splashy move, the team that actually makes the splashy move, like gets the Darrell Revis, seems to be the team that loses out. That's just kind of in general the way it works in my mind. At least that's the way I've seen it. But I don't discount the fact that DeSean Jackson would be an upgrade immediately and could produce in this offense. He knows Marty Morningwick's system. I personally wouldn't do it, but there definitely is a valid argument to be made for bringing DeSean Jackson. But, Jude, listen, we're going to have to wrap up. We got a couple other people on the line. I really appreciate you calling in, being a big supporter, and thanks again for calling in the Jet Nation Radio.
Anytime. You both have a good night now.
Okay. Take care, Jude. Bye.
All right.
Whoops. All right. That was our friend Jude there from North Carolina. And, yeah, you know, Tyson, look, I can understand why people would want DeSean Jackson. I can understand it. And I can understand your point, too. He's a little bit of a diva. And Joel Curry, like, again, I'll bring it up, because Joel's a guy who knows that said John Idzik would be an idiot to trade for him. That's what he said, quote, and this is a guy who was a former agent who used to represent players. So there's risk-reward here in trading for DeSean Jackson, and I wonder right now the way the Jets are approaching business, if they're really ready to make a big splash move like that. Doesn't seem like John Idzik's style, but we want to get to another phone call now. It's Quentin, and I think he's from Chicago. I'm going to have to ask him because it just says shy on here, but he wants to talk about John Idzik and his moves. So, Quentin, Dennis and Tyson here with Jet Nation Radio. Welcome aboard. What do you got for us?
How you doing? Okay. Yeah, this is my first time calling. Actually, I was on my phone looking at a comment, and I seen y'all number, so I said, let me call.
Well, go ahead, Quentin. We're glad to have you aboard. Thanks for coming aboard. What do you got for us on the Jets?
Oh, honestly, to me, from what I'm looking at, because I'm a real big Jets fan since they had Jason Birdie, and I honestly feel like,
Quentin, you're a little in and out, Quentin. You're a little in and out. We're having trouble hearing you, so just see if you put the phone by your mouth a little closer. Yeah, you sound a lot better now. Go ahead.
All right. To me, I feel like a little bit Idzik trying to sabotage Rex Ryan, because you letting everybody go that will help in Rex Ryan defense.
I mean, Quentin,
you let Davis go.
Quentin, this is Tyson. If you really look at it, if Idzik's really done anything, he's basically re-signed everybody that was a free agent. He re-signed Darren Walls, he re-signed Langster, he re-signed Uzzabool, he re-signed Calvin Pace. He's done a good job of keeping who they have, minus Cromartie and Holmes.
Oh, yeah, but see, Cromartie, they talking about Cromartie may not come back. They saying Idzik don't even want to re-sign him back.
Yeah, well, see, the biggest problem that we have right now as Jet fans is that the media has absolutely no clue what John Idzik's plan is. If you follow guys like Manish on Twitter, all you see is visit and discuss, and he's been almost wrong 100% of the time this whole entire offseason. The media has
And
no
you know what, and I have been reading that. I have been reading that. And I also have, I read a good quote that really made me kind of second guess what I've been feeling about what he's been doing. They're saying he don't want to.
Hey, you can deal with that shit, you're going to fuck with it.
All right, Quentin, we're going to have to let you go, Quentin, because we've got too much noise in the background. Listen, why don't you give us a call again next week, okay, buddy? Thank you very much. All right, we're going to bring on another caller, and we're going to bring on Blake from New York, so maybe we'll be able to hear him a little bit better. Unfortunately, we had to drop Quentin there. So, Blake, Dennis, and Tyson here, we're going to hope that you don't have any screaming in the background because you want to talk about the quarterback. Now, if you want to scream at us, especially at me, I'm used to being screamed at. That's fine. You can scream at don't scream at Tyson. Okay, don't scream at Tyson. Scream at Dennis all you want because I usually deserve to get screamed at. So we have Blake from New York. He wants to talk about other quarterbacks besides Geno. So, Blake, welcome to Jet Nation Radio. What do you got for us?
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just had a couple questions. I mean, you know, we're talking about DeSean Jackson. We're talking about the receivers coming in and all this. And then we're talking about, you know, I know you just mentioned that bringing in DeSean Jackson, what's that going to do to Geno Smith's psyche? Well, you know, what are we going to do in the quarterback situation? Are we going to bring Sanchez back? And if we do, and Sanchez is, you know, the better quarterback, I mean, he proved last year in training camp that when he came in, he outbeat Geno Smith for the starting job. If he didn't get injured in that preseason game, you know, who knows? You know, Mark Sanchez might be, you know, he might have came back and been the starting quarterback. So I know we owe him a lot of money, you know, by the 25th or whatever, you know, we got to pay him all that money coming up. But then, you know, there's a lot of discussion out there about Matt Schaub bringing him in. Now, do we want to bring in somebody like that? I mean, he had four straight games last year with pick sixes. I mean, and you know,
well,
a lot of people
here's my question for you. And this is my favorite topic that drives Dennis completely insane. Are you handing this job to Geno, or are you bringing in a guy that you think can beat him out? That's the first question.
Well, I don't know if you want to bring in a guy that you think is going to beat him out, but you definitely want to bring in somebody that's going to create a little bit of, a little competition there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, and who can beat him out?
Well, see, like, and my personal opinion is if you bring in guys like, say, a Mike Vick or a Schaub, first of all, they want to come in and be appointed the starter. They're not coming here to be backups. If you think so,
right.
I think it's just not going to happen. That's why
right.
I think Mike Vick talks have quieted down. For me, I mean, Sanchez is gone. There's no way. I think the Jets are ready to move on. He's ready to move on. It's just a matter of time before he goes. I don't think he comes back. For me, and this is the name that Dennis hates to hear, there's two guys. The first guy I would like to bring in is Jason Campbell because I think he's the kind of guy where he'll push Geno. He'll be a mentor. He's serviceable where if Geno does struggle, he can come in, and I think he'll come at the right price. And the second guy is Sean Hill. That's another guy that people, you know, it's like it's not a flashy name. I mean, if we're going to be honest about things, we're not picking up a franchise quarterback in free agency. So now you're trying to bring in a guy that can, A, played last year, and it's serviceable. So, Dennis, I mean, I'll throw this to you, but for me, the two guys that I'm looking at now with, you know, based on this diminished market is Sean Hill and Jason Campbell.
You think?
No,
you
I have a problem with Jason Campbell. Go ahead, Blake. Go ahead. Tell us what you think.
Well, you think we'll pick up a veteran like that and then draft? You think we'll draft a quarterback in the later rounds of this draft?
That's definitely a possibility. Here's what I think. I think the Jets are going to lowball a guy, and I keep mentioning David Garrard's name, and people cringe. Even though David Garrard hasn't played a game since 2010, and I know that, look at his numbers. And he'll come back very cheap. Quite frankly, I think if David Garrard played a whole season with however the Jet team ends up being put together, and Michael Vick played a whole season, if he made it through a whole season, I think you'd end up with the same results. But you'd have to pay Mike Vick $5 million more. See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So what I think the Jets want to do is they want to bring in a serviceable backup, a veteran guy who won't cost you a ton of money, and maybe they will look later in the draft to try to get a developmental guy. I mean, that's definitely not outside the realm of possibility. But that's what I would do if I was the Jets. Look, if Michael Vick was so good, why wouldn't he have been signed by now? All these other guys are signed. Josh McCown, Matt Castle, all these other guys are signed. Why is he still floating out there?
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I can say is, I think Isnick's doing – I mean, in my personal opinion, I'm a Jet fan, been for a long, long time. I think Isnick's doing a good job. He's plugging some holes in free agency, you know, just here and there, and I think, you know, he's going to build through the draft. And then even after, you know, training camp and stuff, I think he'll plug in some more positions, and I think, you know, we're on our way to being a better team.
Well, Blake, I wish you were on Twitter – and you could just lay that out on Twitter, and people need to be patient. You're right. He's plugging holes. He's got all the way from now. You know, judge him in September. Don't judge him 1 week into free agency because he didn't go out and sign a bunch of overpaid, overrated stiffs, in my opinion. But, Blake, listen, we got another call on the line. We really appreciate you calling in the Jet Nation Radio. Hey, are you a first-time caller? Are you a first-time caller, Blake? Is this your first-time calling Jet Nation Radio?
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, well, wait. You get one of those for being a first-time caller. Blake, I'm glad you're a first-time caller, but I hope this won't be the last time you call in. You have a good night my friend.
Go Jets.
All right. Go Jets. Take care. All right, well, that was Blake. And, yeah, you know, I mean, I think the Michael Vick thing has really kind of dried up. You don't hear too much about it anymore. And again, my question has always been, if he's so good, Michael Vick, if he's that good, some other team out there, if they even want just a stopgap guy while they think they're going to develop a rookie and they have some talent, and why wouldn't Minnesota have looked at him? Instead, they re-signed Matt Cassel real quick. The Jaguars re-signed Chad Henne real quick, and the Buccaneers sure ran out and grabbed the Buccaneers. What a joke they are, anyway. But they grabbed Josh McCown. You know, I hope they have a real good time with him and the rest of the 19 other new players they brought in. Boy, that's a real way to have continuity on your team year in and year out. But we're going to bring another caller in. I believe this is another first-time caller on Jet Nation Radio, which is really great to hear. Just so everyone knows, the phone lines are open, 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. If you want to talk about the New York Jets, John Idzik, any of the signings, any of the lack of signings. So if any way you feel, please feel free to call in that number. We'd love to hear from you, and we're going to bring Dallas on right now. So he wants to talk a little bit about trading Mark Sanchez and Dallas, Dennis, and Tyson here with Jet Nation Radio. We really appreciate you coming on the air tonight. What do you got for us?
Okay, hi, this is Dali from New York, New Jersey, and also I'm the first-time caller.
Well, congratulations. Wait, hold on a second.
Oh, thank you,
That's what first-time caller. I know you wanted one of those, so you get one of those. So what do you got for us on our New York Jets? You're in the New York, New Jersey area, so do you go to games, Dallas? Do you participate in actually going to a game or two during the year, or just stay home and watch on television?
I just stay home and watch the New York Jets games like throughout the season.
Okay.
And also, I'm sorry for speaking my English mainly so badly, but I'm very interested for my team, which is the New York Jets.
Dallas, please, go ahead. Tyson's going to answer you first. Go ahead. Give us your point. Now, I don't know if you listened last week. We had Slim from Scotland. Now, Slim is a great guy, and he's from Scotland. He has a little bit of an accent, and Tyson and I, we were able to follow him. So, please, go ahead. Give us your points on our New York Jets, and we'll be glad to talk New York Jets with you.
Okay, so my question is the following. So what do you think about trading Mark Sanchez to Oakland Raiders in order to get the first-round pick or second-round pick? This is because I see the situation of the quarterbacks is like more like there is no experience over there, and it might be a good idea to get, let's say, one first-round or second-round pick for the New York Jets. What do you think about it?
Dallas, if we could get a first-round pick for Mark Sanchez, I would pack his bags and personally drive him there myself. But the problem the Jets had with Mark Sanchez is that almost every team in the NFL knows that they're going to cut him. I mean, the salary cap number is prohibitive to keep on a team. So if you know a team is going to cut him, why would you give up a resource to get him? So, I mean, Dennis, I'll throw this to you because this is one of your favorite topics. But for me, most teams like the Raiders, which Sanchez would be a good fit for, they know the Jets are going to cut him. So instead of trading for him, they'll just wait for his official release.
I was just going to say the problem is his contract is so large. It's $11 million this year. So, I mean, do you want to pay now here's the only way a trade could happen. It wouldn't be a first-round pick. It would be a very, very late pick and probably a conditional 2015 pick. But if Mark Sanchez, before he was traded, would agree to restructure his contract in a manner that the trading team would be able to have a lower salary cap hit, then maybe, and this is probably why the Jets haven't cut Mark Sanchez, because they're holding out hope that something like that could happen, that they could at least get something back, even if it was a seventh-round pick. But, Dallas, I highly doubt it. It looks like probably by, you know, Friday or Monday, definitely, he will be getting cut. But go ahead with another point. Go ahead, Dallas. Please continue.
Yeah. Another point is, like, I'm seeing on the Twitter, and there is, like, all madness since the Eagles is going to be trading DeSean Jackson. And I'm telling you for the first point, DeSean Jackson won't be a New York Jet. This is one of the reasons. He's a kind of diva player. He wants to be another salary mercenary like Revis. But that's my point. This is very crazy. This is very travesty. I just want to just wait to the draft because we are going to draft wide receiver. I guess like a 2-3 wide receiver through the draft. So it's going to be a good depth for the team. And
I definitely agree with you. If you listened in earlier, I mean, I'm against DeSean Jackson, not for his talent on the field. It's for his all the off-the-field issues, the development of the program, the development of Geno Smith. And I agree. I mean, in this draft class is one of the deepest wide receiver classes in recent years. So you can get a Marquise Lee, a Beckham Jr. You can get these guys there. So I agree 100%. I guess, Dallas, I have one question for you. What's your view on Geno Smith? Do you think he could be the franchise quarterback, or are you kind of hoping to find somebody else?
I just wanted to be a franchise quarterback under the condition that he progressed very, very well. Keep in mind of the second 2 years of Mark Sanchez, he was like driven by the defense, but he was really good to drive to the AFC championships. But I wanted to see Geno Smith to make us at least to the playoff to say, okay, yes, he's going to be our franchise quarterback. But at this point, I don't see if I have to tag him as a franchise quarterback.
Dallas, don't you think, though, and I'm just going to jump in and then we're going to wrap up. Dallas, we really appreciate you calling in tonight. That's great that you're a Jet fan and that you're calling in Jet Nation Radio. You're welcome to call back to Jet Nation Radio anytime we're on. We're on every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. We really love your insight. But with Geno Smith, here's the thing. Last year he was a rookie, and we know he had poor talent around him on the offense. The offense was poor talent. So he's got a year under his belt. They brought in Eric Decker. I'm sure they're going to make more moves. And you talked about the draft, maybe bring in a receiver or two. And that certainly can happen. They could bring in an early-round receiver and a later-round receiver. And I think the excuses are going to be gone for Geno Smith. He's going to have a whole offseason in the same offense, and he's going to need to progress. I just don't think you can cut the cord on Geno Smith at the 1 year and say, that's it, this is what the guy is. Because you've watched enough football to know that guys make big jumps sometimes. I'll give you a good example of a guy, Damon Harrison. In 2012, Damon Harrison played in 5 games, had 0 tackles. Damon Harrison had an excellent year last year, 2013. I mean, I'm hoping Geno Smith makes that kind of jump. But you know what? From year in, year out, you get a lot of surprises. You get guys that progress, get better. And we're going to have to hope. The most important thing here for the Jets to be successful is not getting a great safety, is number 7 moving forward, cutting down on turnovers, throwing more touchdowns, and being more effective as a quarterback. With Dallison, we got another caller on the line. I want to thank you for calling in the Jet Nation Radio tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for being here. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. You're a first-time caller. And go Jets, and we will see you another time. Please call back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, that was a first-time caller, Dallas, there, and he has some interesting points. I did like the fact that he was going to give us a number 1 pick for Mark Sanchez. And let me tell you something, Tyson, you probably wouldn't be the only person packing Mark Sanchez's bags and moving. I think we'd have a whole host of Jet fans, like, moving his furniture. He'd probably come to his apartment. I think he probably still has some sort of, you know, living quarters here in the New York area. All this stuff would be, like, being put in a truck with guys with, like, Jets jerseys on, you know, not number 6 jerseys. They probably have, like, 6 Oakland jerseys on it. And, like, you know, they would have, like, signs that would say, Reggie McKenzie is the best. Thank you for the – I mean, that would be the 5th overall pick. Could you imagine? It would be almost like swapping what we did because we picked Mark Sanchez at 5, and then we'd be getting the 5th pick back. It would be great. It would be so neighborly of Oakland to do that for us, but I just don't see it happening. How about you?
No, one thing is we know he likes the hot dogs out there.
Yeah. Look, he's got – Abbott's got a connection to get him some food if he's hungry on the sidelines. So, you know, he's got that going for him. But we do have another caller on the line, and we know this caller. He's a weekly caller. So he doesn't get a ta-da, okay? He's going to get one of these right now because this is what he's going to do when he comes on, if it plays. Because I got a feeling that that's what's coming. So here it is, our buddy Mike from Port Jefferson. So, Mike, Dennis and Tyson here.
You know,
so
I'm feeling the love.
The floor
is
yours.
I'm feeling the love, guys. Thank you so much. You know, really, really. By the way, I'll be the one to drive the bus for Sanchez because he's not getting a flight. He's going to have to drive cross country with the way he's been playing, okay? I'll drive him to Oakland myself, okay? Thank you very much. At first round draft pick, I would do cartwheels to Oakland if I could get that. Please. Now we do have a GM that's in office, right? I'm just wondering, okay, because there seems to be a problem with he just doesn't understand the philosophy when you have a free agent come into your building and visit. You're supposed to padlock all the doors. You're not supposed to let them out and let them sign with the crosstown rivals, okay? What is going on with Mr. Hidzik?
Mike, this is an interesting one. Up until this point, I really didn't have any problems with Hidzik. I think he set a value for a player. He set a value for a position. And he's like, this is our value. This is what we want. And that's just we're going to go with it. With DRC, it's interesting. I mean, I thought they were going to lock it down. It seemed like he was a good fit. But based on what I saw, the Jets made, they tried to make a smart offer with kind of like a show-me deal. But like, here, you know, here's a $6 million deal with incentives, kind of like saying, build off last year and we'll pay you more. But he's like, listen, I'm established. I want extra money. And the Giants gave it to him. So
you got to do a better job of this. It doesn't seem – now who do we have? We have Darren Walls. We have my favorite corner, Mr. Kyle Wilson, he was the number one draft pick to this day, I still don't know. And we're going to have Dee Milner. Are you kidding me? Really?
It's not good. It's not. Okay. It's not. The problem I have with Hidzik, the one guy that I would have went for if the DRC didn't work out, actually another guy who went to the Giants, was Walter Thurman. And he went for 1 year, $3 million. I thought he would be a decent fit. But now it's like, I guess, Mike, the question to you is, they missed out on DRC. I mean, I'm not sure if the Jets blew it or if the Giants just willing to pay more than the Jets were. But what are your thoughts on bringing Camardi back on a lesser deal? Do you do that, or do you look to the draft to get somebody?
Both. We're going to have to do both. Because now we're gonna have to change our whole philosophy. Because Rex is going to have a hand tied behind his back because you know how he likes to go to the defense. We have to have the corners that do breast coverage. And we need to have guys be able to handle themselves on an island. You know, not Rhode Island, not Coney Island, but on an island, okay? These guys, Kyle Wilson is not going to be able to handle it. He's not the type of cornerback that we need, all right? Dee Milner, yeah, he looked great and everything else. Walls, yeah, he has his moments. He's not a number one corner. And you're going to go into the season with these guys as your top line? That makes no sense. You're going to need to bring Camardi back. Yes, with a lesser deal, but even that's going to be bad. You're talking about a 30-year-old with possibly a bad hip who is not what he used to be. So we're one step behind already. You know, now, of course,
Mike, let me jump in here a second quickly. We're talking about trading for DeSean Jackson. Let me ask you a question. Would you be interested in trading for a guy like Jonathan Joseph, the cornerback from the Houston Texans?
What's the price?
A fourth-round pick.
It's
a salary dump. You would do it. Okay. I'm just saying that's an option that's out there. Okay, you have a guy
well,
like Carlos
price.
Waters.
I wouldn't go any steeper on than that because
that's not worth it.
Right. No, I would.
Okay, it's a salary dump.
We're going to need now all these holes are starting to crop up when it comes to the secondary. We're going to need, besides having somebody a little bit better, I think we also need depth as well. So, let me just say this, Mike.
The Jets only had 15 turnovers last year. They had two fumble recoveries, okay, two. And one of them was at the end of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game when they were lateraling the ball in desperation mode to try, and that was one of the fumbles. They only had one fumble. This is a very physical defense that you can't run against. So, you know, they need to be more opportunistic. Same thing with the interceptions, okay? They only had 13 interceptions, which is not enough. For a team that was third against a run that you really can't run against, how many times did you see a team get stopped on third and one, fourth and one? So you see these guys. So you can't run on this defense. So they're passing mostly on them, right? So there's a lot of opportunities for interceptions, and the Jets didn't get many. And I don't think it really had to do as much with Cromartie. They need speed. This is what they need on both offense and defense, speed, speed, speed. They basically have the same defense coming back as last year, basically, except for they're minus a cornerback. Okay, and I know that Cromartie's still out there. I know he's going on 30, but Brent Grimes, 31, just got a $32 million deal from the Miami Dolphins. He was the number one corner out there. You know, the Jets tried to get Vontae Davis, by the way. The Jets had a deal, as everyone knows, the Jets had a deal in place for Vontae Davis for $9 million, and Vontae Davis basically went behind their back, told the Colts gave him more money, he signed without giving the Jets notification. So, I mean, shame on him. But they had a deal in place for Vontae Davis going right out of free agency. And then as far as Dominic Rodgers, Cromartie, look, the guy's had five mediocre seasons, one decent season. He talked about retirement. I don't blame John Isaac for not giving him $15 million guaranteed and being stuck with him and being mediocre. Look what happened to Antonio Cromartie. He went from 2012 to 2013. Alteron Werner does not fit Rex Ryan's defense. Otherwise, John Isaac would have beat the price that Tampa Bay gave him. See, everybody wants to throw names out there, and they just love names, but you got to put round pegs and round holes.
I knew I was
going
to get this response from you, Dennis. I knew I was going to get this response from you.
You
got
to put round pegs and round holes. Look, there's plenty of options out there. I'll give you some names. It may not be great, but you know what? Draft a rookie in the third round like Bradley Roby, all right? Asante Samuels, Carlos Rogers, Mike Jenkins, Jonathan Joseph I talked about. I mean, if they could swing a trade for him. These are guys that at least are serviceable enough. If you bring in a rookie, mix it up. And you know what? In those nickel and dime packages, have a fast guy out there, okay? Have speed out there. Have a situational safety, okay? Have a situational safety out there who is a ball hawk. You know, take Landry off the field and put a situational safety out there. And or you know what? Have a guy like Jason Barrett. Put him in there in nickel instead of Kyle Wilson. And then – whoosh, in these passing situations. This is what the Jets need. Let me tell you something. If the Jets had 25 turnovers last year instead of 15, they would have made the playoffs. They need
The draft is the next move.
You know, there's plenty of guys out there being patient. If you call the Cromartie and say, please come back to the team, he's going to say, well, I want whatever. No, patience. Patience pays off. You fill gaps for free agency. You build a team through the draft. The
you don't see
Cromartie
going to Arizona, though?
Why would he go to Arizona? Why? They got Jared Powers and they got Patrick Peterson. What do they need him for?
Okay.
He was already out there for a visit and he came back. I don't see it. Look, if the Jets really want Cromartie, they'll bring him back. Maybe they don't have interest in him. Maybe they know more than we do. I'm just saying that there's not going to be this. Everyone's panicking. It's 1 week into free agency. I guarantee you the product on the field will be just as good as it was last year. No, better. Better than it was last year. The defense will be better. Do you know why? Because they're going to be faster. They're going
to
have
What are they looking for to Sean Jackson when it comes to that deal? What are they looking for with him? So they want what? What's the demand
like
for
a third-round pick.
Jackson?
They want a third-round pick, and this is more for Tyson. So, Tyson, you talk to Sean Jackson. Tyson's very against it. They're looking for a third-round pick. Correct, Tyson?
Yeah, third or fourth round pick as well. I'm like, tell me you want Deshaun Jackson now.
No. No,
in all seriousness, I mean, I want like a 10-minute rant about why I don't want him. What are your thoughts? I mean, you can't question his ability on the field. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's a legitimate game-breaking receiver. But for me, it's his off the field, the locker room stuff is a huge concern, especially when you're trying to develop Geno. I mean, what are your thoughts?
He's a head case. He's absolutely a head case, and you want to bring him into this locker room, fine. You're right. You can't question his ability, and he's a game breaker, and he can do a lot. But look at the way this draft is. There's a number of different players that we can come in, and like I said, it could be the second or third
Very
round
true.
With that pick they were talking about, and we can was it the kid from Oregon State? Was it Brandon Cook?
Cook.
Right. He's a speedster. There's other guys out there that are in the same mold as Deshaun Jackson and with less baggage. I wouldn't bring him in because it's going to put Geno into another situation, just like last year. He's finally got himself settled, and all of a sudden Deshaun Jackson is going to come in. He's going to be barking, just like Holmes did. He's going to be barking, saying, "Why don't I get the ball? Why don't I get the ball?" And he's not going to be a team player. I wouldn't want to bring him in, and not even for a third round pick or a fourth round pick. I wouldn't do it because it's too much trouble to ask for.
Yeah, let me just finish on this. Santonio Holmes is about the same age as Deshaun Jackson is, and was kind of getting paid similar money. 2012 and 2013 weren't exactly his highlight years. So you know what? I kind of like the fact that when you go into the draft, again, it's unknown. You gotta hope to strike gold. But if you get a guy who's under a 4-year contract and then you can keep him for maybe 6 or 7 years, boy, that really builds some continuity. Instead of maybe having a guy who's kind of reached his peak and is now going down the other side of the mountain, that's what I maybe feel with Deshaun Jackson. Still has a lot in the tank. But it will start to kind of decline, and you know that most receivers around 30, they start to hit that, you know, wall, and then that's kind of the the red flag portion of, you know, of their age, where you start to say, okay, we got to take a good hard look at this guy. Here's one other thing, Mike. I may want to bring this up with the next caller too, and kind of wrap up with this. Everybody went nuts that James Jones signed with the Raiders, and I say this first of all. You know, James Jones has never had 1,000 yards receiving. Second of all, he'll be 30 in like 2 weeks. He's never had 1,000 yards receiving. And everyone said this about Eric Decker. Eric Decker, he had 1,000 yards receiving 2 years in a row because he had Peyton Manning throwing him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Who did James Jones have throwing him the ball?
Geno. We got Geno throwing him the ball. I don't know if he's going to have the same production.
No, no. When he played for the Green Bay Packers, James Jones. When he played for the Green Bay Packers, who did James Jones
Aaron Rodgers.
Have him throw?
Yeah, he had Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Well, why didn't he have 1,000 yards receiving then? I mean, people said to me, well, they had JaMychal Finley and Greg Jennings or whatever. I said, but wait a minute. But Eric Decker had Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas and Knowshon Moreno and Wes Welker, yet he still managed to get 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah,
so James Jones is 30, and he's 30. He's not the future. Why bring him in and hold back somebody? Quite frankly, to tell you the truth, Jordan Matthews will have more production. Forget about the money. Forget about the money. Jordan Matthews, a rookie out of Vanderbilt. The Jets got him in the second round. He'd have more production than James Jones. Forget about the money. It's about value and production. And this is what people have to remember. Mike, listen, we're going to have to run. We got another call holding on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate
always
you calling
pleasure,
in the Jet Nation Radio
you
tonight.
Much.
And you know what? You weren't as down as I thought you would be, a little chipper. So, again, everybody, I tell everybody, patience. Don't worry. These
because
Jets
you were
are
talking
gonna
about
be, gonna be a
Kevin Sanchez over to Oakland. That's why. Because you gave me all that stuff about driving Sanchez to Oakland. That's why you made me feel so much better. I'm going to go have a hot dog now, guys.
All right, Mike. Take care. Good night. All right, yeah, Mike's driving the bus out to Oakland, getting that fifth-round pick from Reggie McKenzie. Fifth overall pick. Excuse me, let's get that fifth overall pick back. Boy, now we're getting Sammy Watkins. Hey, look at that. So, got to love Dallas. Nice guy, but, little bit too optimistic on the trade value of Mark Sanchez there in his call. But we were glad to have him a first-time caller. But now we have a guy who's not a first-time caller. He's a long-time caller. We have to get to this buffer and cut. And it's Joe from Long Beach. So, Joe, Dennis and Tyson with Jet Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us once again. You always have terrific insight on our Jets. So go ahead, have at it. You and Tyson, I'm sure you'll get into a wonderful heated debate. It's great. And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on the show once again. My outlook on this free agency so far is just like, okay, I understand the corner. Everything that you said about Werner and all the rest of those guys, I totally understand. I don't understand not taking calls from Revis's camp, even though, yes, we have a history with him. If he's willing to come back and we could have worked out some numbers, we should at least let him give us a call and probably look at things. But even that, I understand. You don't want to be saddled down with Revis once again. He may do different stuff. Okay, we get it. But to not necessarily go after Sanders and to not really go after targets for Geno, if we're just going to go into the season with Milner, who had a decent second half of the season, and Wilson, who so far has been subpar, you know, from where he was drafted in the first round, okay, let's just go get targets. If you can't, you know, really necessarily stop anyone on the outside, then let's score with them. That's my look at it. So let's go get targets for Geno. So what do? We go get, you know, a lineman from the Seahawks. He's a pretty decent lineman, I remember. He's a little over-emotional at times, and he does get a couple penalties. But he's decent. Okay, we go get we're still looking at Maurice Jones-Drew. We go get Pettigrew, and then that's it. Why didn't we go after Sproles? We could have gave up a late-round pick for him. Why not go after Sanders? You know, we have all this cap room. I'm not saying let's wildly overpay for a guy, but we got money. Let's overpay for somebody. Decker.
You know,
we also got Decker. Oh, hello,
Joe. I'm with you to a point.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's my first point. It's only a week of free agency, and I think so much can happen between now and August. There's salary cap casualties. There's trade options. There's a draft. There's a lot of things out there. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it seems like I don't know. I'm not as panicked as I thought I would be. I like the signing of Decker. Tight end, I mean, I wasn't completely sold on Pettigrew, to be honest with
at
you.
All.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at other options that didn't come through. Would you be happy if we added, say, a Sidney Rice for some salary cap casualties down the road?
I would have been happy if we would have went after Sanders or gotten Sanders and not gotten Decker and gotten Sidney Rice. I would have been happier doing that. I'm not disrespecting Decker. I think he's a decent receiver. He's pretty good. But he doesn't command a double team. He's not a guy that's going to take the top off the defense, and that's what we need. We got Decker at $15 million, which if you look at his contract, I know Dennis does numbers, but if you look at his contract, it's pretty team-friendly. Like, it's not, you know, he didn't get wildly overpaid, but it's still, he's not necessarily the receiver that we need. He's a guy that you can relatively shut down. I mean,
yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that he's a piece of the puzzle. You can't teach size. So instantly he's a red zone. He's a red zone threat. He's a good athletic. To me, it's like a piece of the puzzle. Or you have Curly. I personally like David Nelson. So you're adding pieces to the puzzle. So if he's – I don't get consumed with is he a one or is he two. He's an upgrade. He's a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like what do you add along with him? Did you add – you know, like we were talking about all these young receivers out there. If you add, you know, a Marquise Lee or you add, you know, a Kelvin Benjamin or a Brandon Cooks, do they make – more Eric Decker more dangerous? And I think they do. So for me, it's a piece of the puzzle. I mean, I guess you don't look at it like that. You want him to be a legit go-to guy?
Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted because I felt like there were legit go-to guys out there. I don't think Decker would have went as fast as if we didn't sign him. I don't feel like Decker would have been gone. I feel like Sanders would have was a guy that was going to be gone. And he was a guy that, you know, pretty much, I mean, he got his deal a little bit later because the corners were getting signed like crazy and money was just going all over the place for those guys. But, yeah, I don't believe Decker was going to be the first receiver gone off the board as far as free agency. And I do understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, we could, you know, go get a, you know, draft a wide receiver. But to me, it's like first round, the way that I look at it, we need a lineman in the first round. We still need a guard.
Joe, if we take a line in the first round, you're going to be peeling me off the floor. Here's my question for you. And we'll kind of agree or disagree with the receivers. But here's my question. And this is something I know this is going to ruffle Dennis's feathers a little bit, but I love doing that. Is what we're always told is players are dying to play for Rex Ryan. These defensive players are chomping at the bit to play for Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's a player's coach. This is an ideal spot to be. We have cap space, defensive guru. Joe, my question to you is, do people really want to play for Rex Ryan, or is it truly always about the money?
I think for most guys, yeah, it is about the money. And that's it. I think guys are about money nowadays. Some guys may want to play for him, but if the dollar sign is, you know, if the Pats offer, you know, $4, $5, $6, $7 million more, then we're going to go with the Patriots. Like, that's just a fact. Like, guys are all about money. Rex does have, you know, a little influence. He's a great coach. Like you said, he's defensive-minded, player's coach. Guys love to play for him. But if that dollar sign ain't right, I don't care who's coaching. They are not going to come there. And that's just a fact. But I feel like it's more Izzik. It's more of Izzik's way to, you know, of deals, the way he offers deals. I don't think it's, you know, guys don't want to come here. I just think if Izzik is saying, look, this is how much I'm going to offer you, and that's it, then that's it, you know?
Well, I like that. I actually like that about John Izzik because, you know what, he has to deal with the same agents year after year, and they know where they stand.
Exactly.
They know they can't screw around with him. He's a negotiator. He's patient. And one quick thing, Joe, I got to let you go because we've got some of the calls hanging on the line. We always appreciate you calling in Jet Nation Radio. I like Sanders, too, but Sanders, his best year – receiving is 750 yards. That's his best year receiving.
Mm-hmm.
If you brought in Decker and Sanders, it's kind of hard to
really
go out and draft a receiver high because those guys, they have to play and they have to produce. Here's the thing. With signing Decker, you know, Decker's got to play. He's got to play and he's got to produce. And he's blocking somebody who potentially could be better than him. Forget about the money. This is what I'm talking about with building a team. And people, remember, teams win championships, not one player. Otherwise, the Buccaneers would have made the playoffs last year, and the Detroit Lions would make the playoffs every year because they have two of the best players had two of the best players at their particular position. So, you know, I'm actually – Decker, right now, in my opinion, is arguably the best receiver in the AFC East. The Jets will go into the draft, get themselves a nice receiver, have Curly, Nelson, get themselves a serviceable veteran for 1 year like a Miles Austin, and maybe have this Salam Hakeem returning kicks. And you know what? If you get eight games out of Miles Austin, as Marquise Lee develops, I'll take it. But, Joe, listen, we got to run. We've got a few other callers. We want to make sure we get to them. As always, thank you for calling in to Jet Nation Radio.
All right, thank you guys for having me again, man. You guys are awesome.
All right, Joe, you're awesome too. Take care, buddy. All right, well, the phone line's lit up. We know we have a couple callers. We're going to bring them right on. And we have Hank from New Jersey. He feels that John Idzik's a little too slow to sign players. So, Hank, let me ask you this question first before we get into the Jets. Are you a first-time caller to Jet Nation
no.
Radio? No, you're not.
No.
You are. I'm sorry, I forgot. So, but, you know, I'm still going to play it for you anyway. There you go. You get a ta-da. So welcome back to Jet Nation Radio. I thought I did remember, but I wasn't 100% sure. So what do you got for us? You're not happy with the way Idzik's handling things?
No, I'm not. It just shows his immaturity as a general manager. I think when you heard Phil talk at the Knicks, he had his methodology, he had his framework. He was very open in the way he does things. And those who really are testing what they do, because obviously Idzik's a copycat, whatever he learned at Seattle, that's what he's applying. And so he doesn't have a lot of confidence in what he's doing. And so it's very easy to draw a line because that's kind of command and control. So he's not giving his coach and his players and especially the fans, you know, an opportunity because we all want some level of excitement. And so his approach is much like Sandy Alderson. So we'll be sitting here in 2017, and hopefully Rex will still be here, but I doubt it. And I suspect
Hank,
soon...
My question for you, Hank, is, and I can sense your frustration, but based on the contracts that have been awarded to other players across the league, player did you want the Jets did not get?
To not get?
Like, what player did you covet that signed somewhere else? Like, who were the guys that
Terrell
you saw?
Terrell Reeves.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why.
All right, so whatever in the best interest of the team comes first, not one's personality or one's beliefs, right? And so Woody may have had a problem with him, but certainly Idzik didn't. And my point being is you win as a team, and for whatever Darrell signed for, we could have afforded to do. And I'm just suggesting that Idzik has his way, which he's not going to open up even to people in the building. They know his approach now, and so do we. And so I'm just telling other Jet fans, 2017, remember the approach. We throw darts when we pick quarterbacks. One will stick. We roll.
But here's my question, though. And I respect what you're saying. Is that the Jets could have afforded the $12 million for Revis this year, so you have your one-year deal. Do you want to deal with his contract drama again next year? I mean, haven't we been down this road before? I mean, at some point, you got to say enough's enough, and this guy's a rental. He's becoming a rental player for me. So
yeah,
you see,
Idzik doesn't have any belief in the team for 2014. Because if he did, he would have went out and made those signings, just like a Elway would. So he's clearly communicating to the fan base that he holds the team in low hopes, and he's going to build through his draft because he's forced to pick players. See, it's optional. So that nonsense of we're very interested in players and then having to apologize to agents, the agents run the business when it comes to the free agent. Nobody is going to steer their clients to Idzik unless it's a last resort. So he's going to bottom feed, right? And that's clearly what he's demonstrated so far. So all I'm suggesting is he didn't have such a hot draft last year. Most folks came.
Wait, Hank. Sorry, I got to interrupt you. What were most of the quote unquote experts predicting the Jets' record to be last year? Didn't he draft a defensive rookie of the year? Wait a minute, wasn't Sheldon Richardson defensive rookie of the year?
Two questions for you.
What were the most of the pundits picking the Jets to be? And didn't the Jets draft a defensive rookie of the year last year? So those are my two questions to you.
Okay, so you're stating two facts, so I can't dispute facts.
Wait, I didn't state a fact. I said what did most of the first question was what did most of the experts say the Jets' record was going to be? Do you remember? I mean,
sure I do.
ESPN
at best 8-8.
The experts were saying eight and eight. I remember ESPN said we were going to be the worst team in the league. They said we were going to be the worst team in the league.
That was week one. So,
but you know what? But look, John Idzik had an austere budget, and he had an austere budget. Do you think that Chris Ivory was a good trade? Do you think that worked out, you know, Chris Ivory, or do you think that that was a poor maneuver Do you think that Idzik made bad, really bad decisions? Or I mean, I don't know really what bad decision he made. I mean, can you tell me the guy that he was supposed to sign?
What made bad decisions he made? He drafted a cornerback in the first round at number 9 that had 5 shoulder surgeries, had problems with his legs, et cetera, his shoulders, rather. He, you know who he could have picked in that slot differently, right? So
who? Who would you have picked?
Who would I have picked? I would have
picked
the tight end
at
Notre Dame.
Yeah, he had like 400 yards receiving. I mean, he had an average year. You know what? I'm forgetting his name. Reed, Jordan
yeah.
Reed, the third round pick from Washington had a better year than Tyler Eifert, who was picked in the first round.
Well, they probably
you would have picked
had
the
better,
and you know
what?
You know something else, Hank. Listen, you're very discouraged. I understand you're discouraged. I understand you're discouraged. D. Milner was rookie of the month in December, okay? He came on very strongly. Sometimes it takes guys time to develop. A guy like Damon Harrison didn't do anything in 2012. Nothing, zero, didn't even have a tackle. Played fantastic in 2013. I think we all need to be a little bit patient. Mike Tannenbaum, Trader Mike.
Talent, right? Coaches developed the talent?
Coaches, yes, and you know what? Coaches are developing, and coaches developed D. Milner, who got better as the year went on. Geno Smith played much better as the year went on. They're bringing in more talent. They did sign Eric Decker. They did sign. That was
okay,
that
so
was
obviously
that
you're
was.
You're an Idzik supporter, so my condolences.
Well, I support Idzik, but I support the patient approach. Here's what I don't support, Hank, and just understand this: I don't support running out and filling your team with free agents like the Buccaneers have done for years, and it has led to terrible results. The Philadelphia Eagles did that terrible
results.
You're going
results. To the other extreme.
The Dolphins
just did like
that
you did
terrible
the other
results.
Call. We're talking about meeting halfway. And we're not talking about
okay,
going
but
to
there's
the
still
other
time.
Extreme.
There's only a week. There's only been a week. And a lot of these guys signed big, humongous contracts. And, Hank, next year you're going to see that a lot of these teams are going to regret what – these guys are just guys, in my opinion. Why are they
okay,
free?
Look, the football,
I mean, Jarius
football
Bird.
Is a now league.
Jarius
it's
from
one
Bird.
Season to the next. And Idzik is playing it like he's got a Major League Baseball team, 2017. Write it down.
No, he needs a 53-man roster that can all play. To make it through a season – let me ask you a question. I'm just going to finish with this, and we've got to wrap up because it's on the call this Hank. I appreciate you calling in. Listen, I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate it. But Calvin Johnson, he gets paid the most money than any wide receiver in the league. Is he the best wide receiver in the league, in your opinion, or at least arguably? Is he the best wide receiver in the league? Calvin Johnson.
I will tell you this. I don't look at it that way. I look at clusters of players that play at the same level because at the
okay,
end of
so
the
you're
day,
saying, oh,
well,
so wait. Time out, Hank. So you're saying that you're looking at a team needs to win, not one player, not one great player who gets paid a lot of money. A whole grouping of players have to win. You have to build a team. Isn't
it's
that what Tom Idzik is doing?
It's a quarterback-driven league.
It's a quarterback league. Okay, so they're developing a quarterback, Geno Smith. They're developing him. They kept him in the same system. Are they not developing him?
I mean, they're working on it, but as you know.
They're working on it. Well, what quarterback would you like? We'll finish with this, Hank.
No, I
appreciate
you. I'll tell you this.
Wait, what quarterback would you like right now that's out there on the market? What quarterback would you like?
I'm not going to – who would I like?
Yeah, who do you want instead of Geno Smith? You like Mark Sanchez?
I like Mark
okay.
Sanchez.
Okay. So you think Mark Sanchez is better than Geno Smith? Okay,
oh,
Hank.
Absolutely.
All right, so you like Mark Sanchez. So maybe Mark Sanchez will stay with the Jets. You know what? They have cap space to keep him. So maybe he'll stay, and maybe he'll compete with Geno Smith. Maybe he'll win the starting job, and maybe the Jets will surprise this year. We can only hope so. My opinion is that
yeah,
John
that's
Idzik,
what we need. We need a lot of hope. A lot of hope and prayer.
I don't think we need a lot of hope because I think we have a lot of solid core players to build on. We're going to bring in some speed, some youth, and we're going to spot free agents who are going to help his team, and his team is going to be successful, Hank. And I hope you call back to Jet Nation Radio in the future. I really respect your opinion. We might disagree, but I respect it. And we'll see what happens moving forward. And you can call back, and I will man up if I'm wrong and say, Hank, you were right, and I'm sure you'll do the same thing if it turns out that I happen to be right. But, Hank, we have some other callers. We're going to
all
let
right,
you run now.
You.
We appreciate you calling
my call.
Have a good night, Hank.
Good night, guy. Bye.
Okay, take care, Hank. Bye-bye. All right, well, that was Hank, and look, he doesn't like John Idzik, and there's a lot of people out there who like Hank, and I understand why. Tyson, wouldn't you agree? You've seen a lot of this. People are like, well, we wanted Jarius Bird, but do people know that Jarius Bird could have been franchised by the Bills? Do people know this? He could have been franchised for $8 million, and the Bills, which would have cost the Bills this year $8 million, okay, in salary. And they had the money, the Bills. They could have franchised him and kept him for one more year. and or try to work out a long-term deal, which they've been trying to. But they let him walk away. Now, why did they do that if he's so good, if he's so great? Also, you know Jarius Byrd had 4 interceptions last year? Ed Reed had 3. Jarius Byrd, another problem with Jarius Byrd is this. And everybody wanted, and even I like Jarius Byrd, don't get me wrong. But here's the problem with Jarius Byrd. He doesn't tackle well. And in Rex Ryan's defense, his safeties are hybrid safeties. They're strong safety, free safety, hybrids. Am I right, Tyson?
Dennis, you're right, man. I'm just listening and admiring. Go ahead.
Yeah, just so you understand. Again, round peg and square hole. Jarius Byrd is a $54 million, $27 million guaranteed round peg and a square hole. You know what? I'll take two guys with the stiffs they just had. Jim Leonard was a great safety. They somehow managed to make the AFC Championship game, have a great defense. You know what? Go out in the draft in the 4th round or whatever, get yourself a nice rangy safety, and play him on 3rd and 8. There you go. That's how this team is going to get better on defense. And you know what else they're going to get better? Because they're not going to have the 31st ranked passing offense, the 28th ranked scoring offense. The offense is going to be on the field more, move the ball more. They're going to add speed at running back. They're not going to add Darren Sproles. He's old. He's 31, 32. He's lost a step. I don't want Maurice Jones-Drew in his 3.4 average. He's 29 with a ton of carries on his body. No, thank you. Youth, speed, athleticism, that's what the Jets need, and that's what they're going to get. And you know what? John Edzik is not done in free agency, period. He will bring in other free agents. He will bring in guys. And I'm telling you right now, this team's going to be very competitive this year. I'm not going to go out on a limb right now and say exactly where they're going to be. But you know what? They're not going to be 4-12. Let's bring on the caller here because he's going to hold on a little while. It's John from Connecticut, and he wants to ask a little bit about the Jets running game. So, John, Dennis and Tyson. And John, first, before you get your Jets point, I believe that you've called into Jet Nation Radio before, but I just want to double-check. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I'm a returning caller, and you played the little ditty for me one time, but you can play it again.
Okay, yes, let's play it for him. All right, John, so welcome to Jet Nation Radio. Dennis and Tyson, what do you got for us on our New York Jets?
Oh, again, I'm getting shivers. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having a great radio show every week. I listen faithfully. And I love all the opinions of all the callers because that's what makes a Jet Nation. And we're lively tonight, and that's good. But I just wanted to throw out there, maybe somebody's working on it. I just hope somebody's thinking about the running game, because if we could improve the running game a little bit, we wouldn't have to throw on every down. And that might reduce some of the pressure and the turnovers on Geno.
John, I agree with what you're saying to a point, but I think how would you go about improving the running game? I mean, I like the threat of Ivory Powell. I like the threat of Goodson if he comes back and he's not, you know, with the off-field issues. But, like, how would you improve the running game? I think the running backs are in place. I think, personally, I think the problem is that teams are stacking the box, daring the Jets to beat them with the pass. And last year they couldn't do it. So for me, I think if you can develop the passing game and become more of a threat and it's not just so predictable, I think that opens up your running game. I mean, what was your approach for the running game?
Well, actually, I wasn't sure who we were getting back, and that was one question. I didn't know if we were getting Goodson back or not, and if his substance abuse issues have been, you know.
Yeah, I think he's an unknown at this point. I think there's a lot to be filtered out there. I think at this point we're kind of assuming he's coming back. But even if not, I mean, you have Powell, you have Ivory, who are both two good running backs. I mean, are you looking for a pass-catching running back in the draft? Is that what you'd want to kind of add?
Well, you know, I'm not the guy I'm not a player picker. I'm not that knowledgeable. I felt that the running game was a little weak last couple years, and so that makes us a little predictable, and I'd just like to have a little more balance there, and all I'm hoping is that someone smarter than me is thinking about it.
John, and I respect that. I think, you know, if you look at the Seahawks, I mean, their formula was Marshawn Lynch and a great defense. I mean, the formula is there. I mean, I think the Jets had the ability to do that. I mean, I guess the one question I have left for you is just, are you panicked at all about John Idzik's approach? I mean, some people have been very critical. I mean, our last caller absolutely ripped John Idzik. What is your take on him? Are you taking the patient approach, or are you starting to become a little bit more concerned?
Hello?
I've been watching Big East football forever. So I had seen Geno, you know, in fact, I saw him in person playing the Huskies for 3 years prior to them moving to the Big 12. You know, so when his name came up, you know, it was a quarterback I was familiar with. I knew he was definitely a threat in the college ranks. I can produce witnesses that I predicted. And, you know, I've been with the Jets so long that, and I've suffered for so long, I don't get impatient anymore.
John, oh, I'm sorry to cut into you, but you were kind of in and out. I don't know if it's a bad connection, but I'm just going to say this quick, you know, because we're also running out of time. We have one more call, and we only have about 10
more
minutes
left
of the show.
Sure, let's get some more people on.
Okay, no, listen, I just want to finish up on your point. You kind of went in and out a little bit, so I'm just going to try to do my best here. Here's the thing with the Jets, and again, with Jet fans, sometimes the best move is the one you don't make. A bunch of years ago, the Jets wanted Nnamdi Asma and loved Trader Mike. Everybody loved Mike Tannenbaum, loved Trader Mike. He would go out and get us everything. Well, in 2010, he had the best team money could buy, and that only lasted one season, and then it fell apart real quick. And Nnamdi Asma was supposed to come here in 2011 and didn't. It was the best thing that ever happened. You know, all these guys that have been signed, a lot of Jet fans are screaming and yelling. They wanted Jarius Bird, and I wanted this guy and that guy. They're going to see that these are just a bunch of pawns, these guys. And John Idzik is going to build a winner. And you said you wanted somebody smarter than you to be thinking about it. I'll tell you, there's one guy. It's not me, because I'm not smarter than anybody. John Idzik brings the right approach to a team sport. He's building a team with playmakers, with youth, with speed, and resources for now and for the future. And I guarantee you this, John. John Idzik will build a winner out of the Jets. And you know what? I stake my reputation on it, the little reputation that I have. John, listen, we appreciate you calling in Jet Nation Radio tonight.
You guys are great.
You called in a few other times.
Good night to Jet
John,
Nation.
Thank you so much for the comp. Thank you so much
we'll
for the
comp. We'll see you next week on the radio. Bye-bye.
John, always a pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that was our friend John. He kind of cut out a little bit. I don't know whether it was his phone. I lost him a little bit. I don't know whether it was my phone. But I lost him a hair there, and I kind of felt bad. But we do want to bring in a good friend from north of the border. Here he is. Wait a minute. We got to get his music up here. You know, this is the only thing. People don't understand. They think that I just sit here and I just babble away. But it's harder than you think. You know, I got to work a board. I got to move things around. I got to get
work
the music.
What kind of work
so
do?
Here he is. That's
yeah.
Right, folks. Yeah! It's our boy from north of the border! He's putting in work.
Absolutely.
He's always putting in work with our nearest Jet. And, of course, as you know, it's the famous Liam from Calgary, all the way on the west coast of, I don't even know where that, I couldn't probably even find it on the map. That's so far away. You might as well be in, like, Moscow, Liam. You might as well be in Moscow. That's how far away I feel you are from us.
If you want to have an idea where I'm at, think Montana, probably an hour and a half north of Montana.
You know what? I rarely go west of Jersey, so I don't even know where the rest of the United States even exists. But, Liam, what do you got for us tonight on our New York Jets? You know, what's going on? What's going on with, John, is it a lot of panic out there? And I want to get your opinion. You seem like a very pragmatic person from the limited times that I've had to speak with you. Very pragmatic. And John Idzik is a pragmatic guy. That's the way he's been described to me by several people who've known him over his career. So I want your take on what's going on. I also know you want to talk about Jacoby Ford coming to the Jets. So feel free to chime in on that as well.
With John Idzik, here's my take on it. Very, very stealthy, very patient guy. He's got his own hashtag going around, Idzik the Ninja.
right?
yes.
I think this guy is very cool. He's calm and collected. This guy is he's a cool cucumber. He's doing his rounds. I think he's scouting out all his different options. He's weighing his options. He's just not pulling the trigger because he doesn't want to make a dumb mistake. And I think what he's done is not making those moves is the smartest thing he's done so far. And going out and grabbing Eric Decker didn't hurt. I think he's a hell of a receiver. But I'm with you guys. I think we just got to be patient.
Liam, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I don't have no problem with being patient, but I will tell you this. I mean, we'll discuss other things. He is putting a premium on this draft. And the one thing all I have to say is, you know, everybody keeps saying 10 draft picks, 12 draft picks. I mean, if you say the Jets just in theory have 10 draft picks, how many of those do you think will be proven players this year in the Jets? Like, what do you think would be a success rate would be? 5, 8, 10? Like, how many players of the 10 do you think will be legitimate players?
I could see maybe 4 or 5. I think maybe 2, 3 starters coming straight out of this draft. Obviously, he's putting a lot of his eggs in one basket, that being the draft, because he's not so far. I'm not going to say anything yet because they're still, you know, 2 months away, a month and a half away from that that front. And he hasn't spent a whole lot of cash yet, but he also, I think, is putting a lot of his time and effort into scouting all of these different pro days. And I think that's where we're going to draw most of the talent in that depth. In the depth pool, it's through that draft, but he's got to build along the way, and I think there's some options he can make before we get there, and one of them I think is Jacoby Ford. I think he's going to come relatively cheap as well, and it's not a big risk. I mean, the guy is explosive, didn't play in 2012, just 100 yards total this past year, but I mean, he's averaging 18 yards a reception on his career, and I think that's, you know, speed and that big play capability.
Liam, if Jacoby Ford is the answer, what exactly is the question?
Can we get more wide receivers? That's the question. Do we need more? Yes. Is he a wide receiver? Yes. Will he be 2, 3 on their depth chart already? I think so.
See, and I guess my thing for Jacoby Ford is he's the kind of guy, for me personally, that I would sign after the draft. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, I get the whole return thing and all that, but, like, I'd rather see what we can get in the remainder of free agency up until the draft and in the draft. And then if our needs at wide receiver or returner aren't met then I would go for Jacoby Ford. But for me personally, I mean, Dennis, I don't know what your take is on Jacoby Ford, but for me, he's an after-the-draft kind of signing for me.
Look, my feeling is this. You have a 90-man roster. I keep saying this. You have a 90-man roster. I want people to understand this. Maybe if you don't understand the way this works, think Liam does. Players don't get paid unless they get some guaranteed money. But if they don't get guaranteed money, they get, you know, people see, like, you know, 500 signed for 500,000 or 600,000. If it wasn't guaranteed, they don't get paid a dime unless they make it into the season. Okay? So you have a 90-man roster. So most of the guys on the roster are not getting paid, and they're not going to make the 53-man, and they'll never get paid. Right, Liam? Correct?
I absolutely correct. I mean, you can definitely wait till after that draft. I don't think there's a huge line you have to get behind in order to acquire, you know, Jacoby Ford's services. But I think he's something that, you know, you can keep your eye on, keep him in your radar as you progress through free agency and then ultimately head after the draft if they feel they don't get enough weapons through those 10, 12 picks.
Well, Liam, let me get into this real quick, okay, because, you know, we're running out of time. We're going to try to squeeze a whole bunch of stuff in here. But, you know, everybody's talking about this cap money. Now one thing I want to bring up, and then another, 2 points here. First, the Jets borrowed $4.5 million against the cap, okay, in 2011 and 12. They were allowed to under the CBA. Now, they have to pay it all back by 2017. Now, they can start paying it this year, and I think John Idzik will start paying, you know, 1.15 or whatever it is over four-year increments evenly, okay? There's going into the season startup costs, about $2 million, and when you're in season, you usually go through about $3 million. So when people see, well, we have $35 million in cap space. Well, $6 million's already been accounted for right now in my mind. So you don't have that. You got $29 million. Okay? So when you want to sign Darrell Revis for $12 million, you know, now you got $17 million. Again, it goes quickly. So I want people to understand that. And here's something else I want people to understand. The Philadelphia Eagles carried over $18 million from 2013 to 2014, which means that they can spend $18 million above the salary cap, about $151 million. This year, they re-signed left tackle Jason Peters, center Jason Kelsey, Jeremy Maclin, receiver, Riley Cooper, receiver, safety Nate Allen. In free agency, they went out and got Malcolm Jenkins, Nolan Carroll, who's a cornerback, and they traded for Darren Sproles, and they extended him. Well, that was because they managed their cap well, and they had this room to now bring in free agents, spot free agents, make a trade, and re-sign guys who give them continuity, and also they made the playoffs last year. You see, John Idzik isn't pinching his pennies for no reason. What he's saying, he's looking for value. And he's saying that if I carry over $15 million in the next year, I can go after a Joe Hayden or a Brandon Marshall and still be able to afford the guys Mo Wilkerson, Damon Harrison, replace David Harris if I have to. Again, this is about good cap management. It's not about being cheap. And here's another question for you, Liam. I want to finish with this. We're going to wrap up and run out of time. Do you think Mark Sanchez will be on the team this time next week?
My answer is going to be no.
And why not? Wait, let me follow up with that, Liam. Why not?
Well, I think that team just needs to cut bait with that player. I mean, pretty much dragged him through the mud for four straight seasons. He didn't pull his weight, and I don't think the players around him did their weight either. It just was an experiment that didn't end up working the way the Jets wanted it to. And I think going forward, they're just going to release him, save that money. You know, like I said, there's a lot of payments you have to account for throughout the season, let alone signing your draft picks after the draft. Not saying that's expensive, but it's also something you have to account for. And I think that releasing Mark Sanchez is going to be inevitable when it comes to the end.
Well, you said one thing that was very important there. Save the money, okay? Do you think any team after he's cut is going to pay him? Absolutely, okay. Here's my point. Do you think any team is going to pay him $11.5 million? That's what he's scheduled to make new money this year if he played out throughout the season. You're saying save the money. So is he worth $11.5 million is my question.
No, Mike Tannenbaum extremely overpaid for him. I think he just wanted to lock him up and kind of save his behind in the quarterback market, so he didn't have an excuse to go and draft one. And that's what he did with Sanchez, and now they're tied up with him, and they can be free of that, I don't want to say demon.
Yeah, they save $8.3 million if they cut him. They save $8.3 million, like they save that money. So that's the reason why they're going to cut him, because he's not worth paying 11.5. If they cut him, they save 8.3. So basically what you've said is you have put a value on Mark Sanchez and said, right now, the money he's supposed to get paid in his contract does not equal the value that he gives to the team. And this is what I'm saying about John Idzik. Same thing happens with free agents. When free agents walk in the door and John Idzik puts a money value on them and a value as a player and they don't equate, he lets them walk out the door. And you know what? That's called being a good negotiator, that's called being smart, and that's called being a guy that I believe will build us a winner. But Liam, listen, we're going to run. The show is running short. We always appreciate you calling in from Canada. We love the international flavor, and we always love the insight you bring. You always bring it hard and fast, and we appreciate you calling in.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care, Liam. Bye now. All right, well, that was our buddy Liam from Canada. And, you know, we're almost out of time here, Tyson, and there was a lot of things, you know. I wanted to go through one other thing quickly with you. We got a few minutes here. And people are saying about, you know, the Jets have holes. They have holes here. I mean, first of all, right guard. I mean, go re-sign Willie Colon for $1.5 million. I think we're fine. Anyway, can you do me a favor, Tyson? You're a very knowledgeable football player, and that's why I love having you as my co-host. I mean, football NFL, you know the NFL very well. You're very knowledgeable. Could you do me a favor? Could you name me right now a starting wide receiver on the Carolina Panthers, or any wide receiver on the Carolina Panthers for that matter?
Well, that'd be a good question. Let's see. LaFell's to the Patriots, Steve Smith's a Raven. I'm going to say no.
No. Let me see where Ted Ginn went. I know he went somewhere. He's not with him. He left also. Do you know how many receptions and yards that he went to Arizona? Okay, last year for the Carolina Panthers, you know how many receptions and yards receivers had for the Carolina Panthers other than those three you mentioned, Smith, Ginn, and LaFell?
Oh, it can't be many. Eight? It can't be many.
Dominic Hickson had seven. He's not with them anymore. He's with the Bears. Had seven receptions for 55 yards. Now, they're off the team. Let me give you the statistics. They have six receivers. You know, they have WR after their name. That makes them receivers. The Carolina Panthers have six receivers on their current roster. Here is their career totals combined. Six receptions for 83 yards. The Carolina Panthers don't have a lot of cap space. Do you think that, I mean, you want to talk about holes. You want to talk about mismanagement. And people have the gall, the naysayers, to say that John Idzik is a penny pincher and Woody Johnson is cheap. Woody Johnson, you can say a lot of things, headline grabber, whatever. Woody Johnson is not cheap, but maybe he's learned from the mistakes of the past that you need to build a team long-term that each year gives you a chance to get in the playoffs. Each year. Maybe he learned that, because you look at a team like the Patriots, as much as I dislike them, they've made two Super Bowls since 2004. They had an undefeated season. They had Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady. They haven't won. Peyton Manning's won one Super Bowl. So has Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco. By the way, Geno Smith could never be as good as Joe Flacco. That's impossible to think when people talk about developing Geno Smith. My point is this. You can't just build a team for 1 year and hope. A lot of teams have tried. The team that came close to building a team and winning it was the 2010 Jets. I'll give them credit for that. They almost made it, Tyson. But they fell short, and they fell apart real quick. The way you build a football team is by patience, being smart, and putting the proper value as compared to what you're paying. It's not about saving $5 million or $10 million or whatever, because if John Idzik thought Alteron Werner was worth $40 million over 4 years, he would have paid him. Put round pegs in round holes, get younger, quicker, faster, and more athletic. That's what John Idzik's going to do with this team, because look at that Seattle Seahawks team. They could play that Super Bowl 100 times, that great Denver offense. They couldn't move a ball an inch, and you know why? Because that Seattle defense was like 11 wasps out there that just had the hive shaken. They were all over them, and that's what John Idzik's going to put on the field. Speed, playmakers, depth, 53 men all pulling the rope in the same direction. And you know, guy, you know what? I believe in John Idzik. I'm a John Idzik supporter. And until proven otherwise, I will continue to support John Idzik.
Dennis, the only thing, that's a pretty good rant right there. I was almost going to start playing some music for you. Thing that you have to add to this is you have to maximize the draft. I mean, you're looking at Seattle, I mean, mm-hmm. You look at their defense, it's all they draft all those players. So while I agree with you with the approach, you can't miss in the draft. You can't trade up and then blow the pick. You've got to maximize the draft, draft quality players, know your needs, and fill those needs. You know what I mean? Like, you can't swing and miss. Like, assuming we have 10 picks or 12 picks, like Liam said, if you can get 4 or 5 quality players out of there, that's a good draft, but you need that. You can't have rounds 1 through 3. These guys are, you know, just average guys that can barely get on special teams. You need to get legitimate talent, speed, explosive players in there, and you can't miss. That's the one of the things, like, in the years past, Mike Tannenbaum ruined his odds to get trading away picks. So if you only have 6 picks and you miss on 4 of them, you're pretty much screwed. So the Jets have more wiggle room with a good amount of picks, but you've got to maximize your draft.
Yeah, you know what, I agree. Look, Idzik has his – we're running out of time, so we're real quick. Idzik has his staff in place now, which is a good thing. But here's one thing I want to get in quick. The mainstream media is a bunch of liars. That's all I want to tell people. Stop listening to the lies. You know what? I'm not bragging. I'm not saying anything. I've been in the Jets locker room. I know some people within the organization. And you know what? Everyone quotes a team source, so I'm going to quote team sources now. All right? Rex Ryan was never going to be fired, nor told his team that he was ever going to be fired. Okay? They never apologized for any negotiating they did. Rex Ryan was never upset he lost Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. You want to believe me or you want to believe someone else, that's fine. I'm just an amateur. I have nothing to gain by this. I'm telling you, I know, and I wish people knew the things that I knew because I'm tired of listening to these lies. So listen to Jet Nation Radio. You'll get the truth. Listen, I want to thank Steve for working the busy switchboards tonight. I want to thank my co-host, Tyson Rausch. Jet Nation, we'll see you next week at 8 o'clock.